the subject of our message at this time. We call it Four Wonderful Bible Verses, Titus 2:11-14. Now, perhaps we should not select any four verses and call them wonderful verses, because all of the Bible, or every verse, is a wonderful verse in a way, and we accept the Bible according to the Word of God, believing in the divine origin and divine authority of the Word, believing that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, that is, God-breathed, and is profitable for doctrine, for instruction, for reproof, for correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto every good work. Now it has been truly said that all of the Bible is for members of the body of Christ, but every verse of Scripture in the Bible is not about members of the body of Christ. And that's the reason we have the exhortation in 2 Timothy 2:15 to rightly divide the word of truth. So we will be workmen who need not to be ashamed. But I'm sure as we look into these four verses, you will agree with me that they are very, very precious words, and they are four wonderful verses. Titus 2:11-14. Listen carefully to God's word. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God, our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Now, would you have time, sit down and spiritually, prayerfully, thoughtfully read these four verses and see all of the wonderful doctrines that are included and taught in these wonderful verses. The grace of God, the grace of God. Oh, that word grace is a beautiful word. Just say it. Grace, grace. What does it mean? Well, you know, according to the Hebrews, there was an Old Testament word, grace, that means to bestow a gift upon a bankrupt. Well, in Adam, we're all bankrupt. But when we pass out of Adam into Christ, we're blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies, and we're complete in Christ, accepted in him and without condemnation, and spiritually we're multimillionaires in Christ. And thank God we read the words, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Now God in the Bible is called the God of all grace. So let's read it this way. The grace of the God of all grace that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Now we're living in the age of grace. We're living in the dispensation of the grace of God. I wonder if you've ever compared this wonderful, glorious message with the words of Christ in the 10th chapter of Matthew, when he sent out Peter and the 11, the 12 apostles. And you remember what he said to them? Go not into the way of the Gentiles. No, he said, go to Israel, for I am not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Go not in the way of the Gentiles. Well, there's a great difference between what Christ did on earth when he limited the message to his own nation. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. And this message the Apostle Paul has written to us, for he, you know, magnified his office as the Apostle of the Gentiles. And you remember what he said in Acts 20:24, I must testify of the gospel of the grace of God. And he said that gospel was not received by me from any man. I received it by revelation from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Paul was peculiarly a messenger of the grace of God. He is the one that gives us the great truth, or the Holy Spirit using him, in the 5th of Romans, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. What does that mean? Well, there's abounding sin in this world. You could go to the penitentiary and get the criminal who has been a criminal all his life, guilty of the violation of every law. A murderer, a thief, an anarchist, a drunkard, an adulterer. And no matter how many sins he's ever committed, we have this glorious statement that where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, not of works, lest any man should boast. It is the gift of God. And my dear friends, it doesn't take any more of the grace of God to save a guilty criminal than it does to save the most respectable, cultured, lovely religious lady who's a member of the church but who has never experienced the divine transformation called the new creation. You are not saved because you join some church organization. The only way you can be saved is in God's way. By grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourself, it is the gift of God. Now you cannot pay for a gift. You do not have to beg for a gift. You do not have to pray for a gift. How do you receive a gift? Why, you receive God's free gift, eternal life, by receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior. You come by faith to Calvary. Acknowledge yourself to be the ungodly sinner for whom Christ died, and God, for Christ's sake, will receive you, and you'll be made accepted in the beloved. And that word accepted is the verb form of grace. You will be graced in the Lord, and you'll stand in the presence of God with all your sins forgiven, completely justified and sanctified, and stand as though you'd never committed one single sin. Now Paul says, after we're saved by grace, should we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Forget it, perish the thought. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation teaches saints, those who've been saved by grace, that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Now the grace of God is not only adequate and sufficient for the salvation of any kind of a lost sinner, but it is also adequate and sufficient for the every test and every trial and every task and every temptation of every saint of God. For God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency, might abound toward every good work. So the grace of God teaches us, the grace of God enables us, and then, notice again, the grace of God tells us to look for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God, our Savior, Jesus Christ. That means that this age of grace, this present dispensation of grace in which we live, will come to an end by the sudden appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ for his redeemed ones, those who are saved by the infinite, matchless grace of God. We're declared righteous by the grace of God freely through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And then we're to look for that blessed hope, realizing that our citizenship is in heaven, from whence we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, to change these bodies of humiliation, that they may be fashioned like unto his own glorious body. For behold, said Paul, I show you a secret. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Some day, some hour, some moment. Yes, in the twinkling of an eye, we know not when, the same Lord Jesus who died on the cross, who's the living glorified man at God's right hand, is coming back, and the dead in Christ shall be raised first, and we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall be caught up together And then the Lord Jesus Christ, according to the 5th chapter of Ephesians, is going to present the church unto himself as a glorious church, a holy church, not having spot or blemish. Yes, that will be the culmination of this day of grace. The Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar or a purchased people, zealous of good works. Yes, we're not saved by good works, we're saved unto good works. And God said, be careful to maintain good works. We do want to be true to our Lord and to his word, and we want to be evangelical, as we say, and evangelistic, and so we thank God for this radio ministry. Would you please tell others to tune in to our next broadcast? This is Pastor J.C. O'Hare saying goodbye, and God bless you.